We are in Parashat Mishpatim. Very parasha, very full of laws, a lot of laws, and we find a very unique commandment, a law, or an instruction that is like it's not such a common thing, and it says. וכיימכור איש את ביתו לעמה. When a man will take his daughter and... Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. We are in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh ma'amar. Sorry. Sorry. And it starts, וכיימכור איש את ביתו. Okay, found it? Now, the translation... And a man will take his daughter and sell her to be a maidservant. I mean, what kind of a father does that? But nevertheless, that's what the Torah says. What happens if a man takes his daughter and sells her for a maidservant? So one can be less harsh and to read it to understand that there's some financial problems in the house and the father is asking the daughter, do you mind going and working? So it sounds harsh that the father sells the daughter to a maidservant. But, you know, my grandmother is a Holocaust survivor. And when they lived in Berlin, they were very, very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. And they ran away. And they ran away with a suitcase. And that's it. Everything was left behind. No wire transferring the money, chick-chack. No credit cards. And when they finished their journey, they went from Germany to Denmark, to England, to Canada, and they ended up in Australia. And Australia was exactly how it's called, down under. There was nothing there. There was kangaroos and beer. There was nothing there. And they had to start their life from nothing. My grandmother was 17 years old. She was what's called, I think it's called Jap. Jewish American princess, so she was a Jewish German princess, and suddenly there was nothing to eat. So, I mean, she was 17 years old, and her sister was 14 years old, and they had to go and work. And they went to a plant and sewed buttons and whatever it was. So, the Torah makes it sound harsh. When a father sells the daughter to be a maidservant. But this is not so far away from the reality that sometimes the situation in the house is not so great and you ask your daughter, do you mind going and working, helping in, help pitching in? But nevertheless, this is the verse that it says in the Torah, but we want to explain it a little bit more deeper than just the physical explanation. Al derech haremes, if you're looking in the level, there are four levels to read and learn and interpret the Torah. The first one is the Pshat. The Pshat is the literal explanation. That's what we learn here, the literal explanation. And the father takes the daughter and sells her to be a maidservant. But the next level is called Remez. The acronym of the four levels is Pardes. Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod. The Remez is the hint. There has to be a hint. Al derech haRemez, yesh lefaresh, we can interpret, the Hashchina nikret bat. The Shechina, the feminine aspect of the divine, is called the daughter. Kayadua, as it's known, ve'amar ha-katuv, as the script says, ki imkor ish, when it's talking about when a man will sell, ze ha-kadosh baruch hu, is referring to the kadosh baruch hu. The kadosh baruch hu is the ish. When do we say that? Shenikra Hashem ish milchama. We read that every day, not every day, we read it once a week in Tehilim, in Shir Shalom. Hashem ish milchama. Hashem is a man of war. But we see that Hashem is called ish. When it says ki imkor ish, it's referring to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Le'ama. Ama is, can be interpreted as a maidservant or a servant. Chalila shifcha. Chas v'shalom. Don't even think that it's talking about a shifcha. Shifcha is like a slave, a woman that is becoming a slave. Ki tirash gevirta. Because the ama, the maidservant, she will inherit the place of her master. Lo titzek etzet avadim, she is not going to leave slavery like the other slaves. That's what the verse says. Berashei evarim, perush, with the rashei evarim is the heads of the organs or the limbs. What does that mean? Im chas v'shalom tekalkel et ha'evarim. If chas v'shalom she will damage in some type of a way an organ, for example, a tooth by eating. If you eat a strong nut or something, you can break the tooth. Or enayim bariya, or you can damage your eyes. When you're looking in the screen like this, sometimes I see people, they're in the screen. And maybe the nearsighted or farsighted, some people are in the screen. Ruins the eyes. Or sometimes you read in the dark like that. Oh, good, can ruin the eyes. You can ruin one of the eyes, the limbs with the eyes. Or sh'ar evadirim, or maybe some of the other organs. Vegid, and the tendons.
First of all,
I have to understand when it's talking about the guarding the organs or the limbs, I have to guard my health only because when I neglect my health, what happens is the powers of impurity, we call them kochot tum'ah, they can have grasp on a limb. If chas v'shalom, I'm missing a certain mitzvah, we're learning that in Shaarei Kedushah now, that if I'm missing one mitzvah, then the light of the mitzvah, it leaves, so to say, the organ, and then the organ becomes vulnerable. We have 248 positive mitzvot, and they're corresponding to 248 limbs. 365 precepts corresponding to 365 tendons. When I'm following the Torah 100%, then all my limbs and my organs and my tendons are getting what's called the or ruchani, a spiritual light that enlivens the organ. That's why, based on the teachings of the Arizal, Rabbi Chaim Vital, his student, Rambam, many others, they say, if you follow what I tell you, you will never be sick. Why do we become sick? Because the physical organ is lacking a godly light, and then the organ becomes weak. What will happen? Light comes out, darkness comes in. This is powers of impurity, have achiza. They can grab the organ right now. Now, if I damage the organ of my eyes, in one way or another, now the tum'ah, the impurity, can have a grasp on my eye and make me look at something that I'm not supposed to look, and I'm not going to be able to take my eyes off. Or I will see that red dress and right away, you know, and I can be a 90-year-old woman with a red dress, but the red, you know, is a... So that's because the eye, tum'ah, there's impurity holding the organ. If there's not impurity there, right away the eye will go down. I don't want to see something that is not kosher. And it can be the ear for listening to Lashon Hara, right away, you know, if there's tum'ah, if there's power of impurity holding the organ, I'll just hear the first two words of the Lashon Hara. What? What did you say about him? What? Or the other way around, we'll be like, no, I'm sorry, no, I don't want to hear anything. Shh. You know, so it depends how what is controlling the organ, tumah or not tumah. Chas v'shalom, if a person damages a certain organ, then it can be grasped for the powers of impurity. Ve'im chas v'chalila, chas v'shalom, tekalkel v'tashchit ha'evarim. If chas v'shalom you damage one of the organs, oy, ech garam tagalut ha'shchina. You're causing an exile, the Shechina, to be exiled with your sin. Shelo titze min hagalut amar. That this Shechina will be completely exiled to a horrible exile. U'bemidrash titze amru. When it says that the maidservant, she's going to go out of slavery, it uses the word titze. Amru chazal, our sages have said, v'darshu, and they explained it, min ha-mikra, from the script, shetitze b'shesh v'yovel. Then the maidservant, like a slave, will leave, so to say, the slavery in the after 6 years, in the sabbatical year, and in the yovel, in the jubilee year. Remez, what is this hinting to? Leshisha k'tzavot. Shisha k'tzavot is, you know, the world is like a cube. And even though when we say Kriyat Shema, and the Zohar says that when we say the word Echad, we have to meditate on three things. Aleph of Echad, I have to meditate on Hashem, Alufo Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe. Chet of the Echad, I have to meditate of seven firmaments and one land, Sheva Rekim, and Eretz Achat. And the Dalet Ruchot HaOlam, the four corners of the world, that Hashem is everywhere, in all the firmaments, all the worlds, and all the corners of the worlds. But we know in many other places that the world is defined, that it has six corners, because the world is like a cube. And if you're looking at a cube, it has top, bottom, right, left, in, out, or up, down, however you're looking at it, but it has six corners. The world is called like a cube. This is called in the Kabbalistic term, Shesh Ktzavot. Six ends. The 6 years that of the service is corresponding to this six ktzavot. Velayovel, the jubilee, the 50 years, is referring to the Yovel HaElyon. What does it mean, a Yovel HaElyon? The Yovel from the world above. Dahayinu kasher yeteknu Yisrael et hashisha ktzavot, when we, as the nation of Israel, will be able to refine and to rectify these six ktzavot, which, by the way, they're corresponding to the six midot that we have to refine. Va'yovel az titze min hagalut hashchina. When we're going to be able to refine six ktzavot, six corners, referring to the six midot, we have to refine them. We have to do a tikkun to the sefirot above. We mentioned it yesterday in the Zohar class, that when I mix two midot in the wrong way, it causes a problem, causes a blemish. We explained a little bit yesterday why we don't mix meat and dairy. And it's not because Hashem is looking to make my diet hard. Rather, meat comes from the sphere of Gvura, dairy comes from the sphere of Chesed. When I mix them in the wrong way, I'm mixing the Gvura and the Chesed in the world above, and I'm causing a problem, a blemish. So I need to refine and to rectify the midot in the world above. Now, what is the 50? We know there are 50 gates that need to be refined and corrected. We count 49 days of the Omer, because the 50th gate, by default, will be corrected if you fix 49 gates. We find that in many places, the 50th, that we have to rectify 50 levels. We're learning now the gates of reincarnation, Sha'ar Gilgulim of the Arizal, where he explains that we have to refine our nefesh, and then we get the ruach. We find the ruach, we get the neshama, and so forth. Each part of the five levels of the neshama, they correspond to five worlds. The nefesh comes from the world of asiyah, the ruach comes from the world of yetzirah, the neshama comes from the world of briyah, the chaya comes from the world of atzilut, and the yechida comes from the world of ak, adam kadmon. And I have to refine one level after the other. That's why I'm getting so many lives, because you can't do it in one shot. But Dari explains that the nefesh has to climb 50 levels. Why 50 levels? Because every world has five partzufim, and each partzuf has 10 sefirot. I'm not going to start explaining all these terms, just to get to the number. But in the world of Asiyah, there are five partzuvim and 10 sefirot. That means 50 levels only in the world of Asiyah. That the nefesh has to climb and climb and climb and climb. And if it will make a sin, it will fall down and up and down and up and down like shoots and ladders. But we know that we have to correct 50 levels. So we have here two hints. The 6 years of the slave, corresponding to the rectification of the six midot. This is called shishak tzavot, six ends. The jubilee, that's how you say jubilee, right? Yeah. The yovel corresponds to the 50 levels that I need to rectify. And that's when what happens in the after 6 years and after 50 years, the slave goes out, chofshi, he goes free. That's when the Shekhinah goes out of exile. When we as a nation can reach to a tikkun of the midot and our nefesh, that's by default when the Shekhinah will go out of exile. This is what's called Az Titze Min Hagalut Hashekhinah. Then the Shekhinah will be revealed. And then he continues and adds, Ve'od Mosif Alav Amma Ivriya Tetze Basimanim. When it's talking about a young girl, it's called Amma, and Ivriya from the Jewish nation, how would she go out of her, so to say, slavery that her father sold her? When she shows signs of puberty. that she shows that she's older already, then she can leave. Remez, what is the Torah trying to tell me? I mean, this parasha is very cut and dry, a lot of rules, but there's a lot of hints going on here. If you're just looking at the dissecting the level of remez, you'll see so much hints here. What is the Torah trying to tell me? That she would leave her slavery or her job, so to say, that she was sold, when she shows signs of puberty. Remez al Torah Kedusha. It's hinting about the Holy Torah. Why? Im tikne ota besimanim. If you buy her by the marks, by the signs of puberty, al derech shamru chazal, in the same way that our sages have interpreted, en haTorah niknet ela besimanim. The Torah is being purchased or acquired by simanim. What's the simanim that it's talking about? Siman is a sign. Where else do we find the word simanim? Simanim hi lashon simanei haktoret. The all the spices that they had for the incense. It's called simimanim. We read that every day. Pitum haktoret keitzad. How do we do pitum haktoret? We start naming the simanim. The Torah is acquired by the simimanim, the spices for the incense. Ve'yesh lomar ha'perush bedivrei chazal. And our sages, to explain what our sages have said, en haTorah mitkayemet u'mekubelet livanav yitbarach shmo lasot nachat ruach l'Hashem yitbarach ela basimanim. It's not that I have to acquire or buy the Torah, rather how to explain the Ma'amar Chazal, what our sages have said, en haTorah mitkayemet. The Torah cannot be applied and it cannot be guarded and covered and so to say, to serve the Torah, it only gets accepted by the Kadosh Baruch Hu and does nachat ruach, give a nachat to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, pleasure to Hashem, only when it comes with pitum haktoret. Unfortunately, we don't have yet pitum haktoret, but every time there was a plague or a big disease or something big, then they used to burn the incense. Perush, the meaning. אלא כשמעלה ריח ניחוח כל מיני בסמים קדושה וטהרה, when now we don't have incense, we don't have קטורת. Very soon, Mashiach is coming, right away. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take out from the ark the סממנים. He knows how to do it. We're not allowed to even try. Even if somebody will try now, they won't figure it out. But nevertheless, right away, Moshe Rabbeinu, chik-chak, he knows already how to do it. Right away, we start burning incense. In the meantime, we don't have that. But you know what we do? The incense used to bring some type of a smell. It's called Reach Nichoach. And Hashem used to smell it and get this pleasure. Now, since we don't have the incense, you know what we can do that arouses the smell like a, it says Kol Minei Besamim, like perfume, like good smell? How do we do that? We do that with Kedusha, with holiness, Tahara, with purity, Prishut. When I segregate myself, I move myself away from anything that is impure. Zehirut, being careful, not to chas v'shalom step on anybody's toes, not to answer back, not to insult, not to hurt. Uzrizut, and being very quick to do the mitzvah. Not asking a question. A person knocks on your door, I need help. Yes, how can I help you? Not let me ask my husband, let me consult with my wife, let me see with my bank account. Yes, let me see how I can help you. It's called Zrizut. Sheneemar, as it says, Sima befihem. As it says, put it in their mouth. Right now we don't have korbanot, we don't have sacrifices, we don't have incense. Put it in their mouth. What do you mean? What does it mean, put it in their mouth? Ksheapeh halomed haTorah ta'aleh besamim. Reach nichoach. When our mouth is doing that, I'm learning Torah, or when I'm praying, this will be like a good scent, a reach nichoach, good smell, and a nachat ruach for the Kadosh Baruch Hu, shiyesh shomer pivu l'shono mikol davar ra. And what is the important part here is that our sages say, u'neshalma parim sfateno. Instead of us putting bulls on an altar, then we'll talk. Our lips will be our bulls. Meaning we'll be praying, we'll be praising Hashem, we'll be learning Torah. It's all about the mouth. But what good is that mouth that you pray and you learn Torah if you go and slander another person and you talk Lashon Hara and you lie and you cheat and you curse, what good is that mouth? In order for my mouth, my lips movement to be accepted like an incense or like a bull or like a bull meaning a sacrifice, then the mouth has to be zipped. As what does it say here? Sheye shomer pivul shono. You have to guard your mouth and your tongue. From what? Mikol davara. From anything bad, anything evil. Don't lie, don't curse, don't cheat, don't slander, and so forth. Now, when you know how to control these lips, then the Torah zot nasar nachat ruach. You can learn 50 hours a day Torah. What did I say, 50? 15. 15 hours a day Torah. Go and say one lie, your Torah is worthless. How would the Torah go up to Shamayim and be accepted by the Kadosh Baruch Hu when the same mouth lies, or cheats, or curses, or says lashon hara? So, right now we don't have Bet HaMikdash. Very soon this problem is going to be solved. We're working on it. Mashiach is on his way. He's already here. Ototo, any minute we're going to be back to putting bulls on the altar. But till then, my bulls and my incense is my mouth, meaning learn Torah and pray. But I have to guard my mouth. The mouth cannot be damaging on the one hand, learning Torah, and on the other hand, lying. When I shut my mouth, in other words, I zip my lips, then my Torah becomes HaTorah Zot. This Torah, Osa Nachat Ruach LeYotzro. Then it makes Nachat to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. La'alot HaShechina MaGalut. And that really what takes the Shechina out of the Galut. Ve'igalenu Gulat Olam B'mera Ve'emenu Amen Kenei Ratzon. Hashem should take us out of this terrible exile right away to a final redemption which should last for eternity. Amen Kenei Ratzon. So we have here a very interesting secret. We want to take the Shechina out of exile. In other words, zip your mouth. Then your Torah is worthless. Is worthy. If you learn Torah all day long and you pray with all your might and you go like this and all these movements, but 2 minutes later you go and lie and you slander, you see the guy, what he did? So what good is your Torah? What good is all your prayers? How would the prayer go up even? So we invest so much in our prayers. 2 hours a day, minimum, right? An hour plus shacharit, mincha, arvit, birkat hamazon, kriyat shema. 2 hours a day invested in prayers. You know, I cannot bear the fact that my investment went to the toilet if I, after I pray, I slander or lie. I said, wasted your time. You wasted 2 hours of your day. Then you sit here in the Bet Midrash for another 4 hours, and then you go and lie outside. So what good is your Torah? You think, well, the Torah is not going to go anywhere. You know the story with the Baal Shem Tov? He once walked into a shul, and he walks in. Wow! Look how much Torah is in this shul. And they're all like, well, you know, we learn here a lot of Torah. And he says, so much Torah in the shul, and they're all getting all excited. And he says, there's so much ego in the shul, the Torah doesn't even go up to Shamayim. It stays in his shul. The Torah doesn't leave even. So we want my Torah to go up. The Torah is not mine. It's not for me to learn, for me to put it in my pocket. Or to say, oh, you know, I know the Shas inside out. The other day I heard two guys arguing, and one told the other one in the argument, I finished the Shas 3 times. Wow. Kol hakavod. You finished it, but the argument that wasn't befitting to the the finishing the Shas 3 times. The Torah is not for me to brag that I learned it. My Torah is for me to elevate it to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. I'm just learning it because I have to take it from this world and to elevate it to Hashem. So by me damaging my mouth, I'm beating the point. Needless to say, how does he conclude? That when a person, notzer leshono, holds his tongue in his mouth, makes nachat to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, la'alot ha-shechina ma'galut. Look what a secret we got here. Can get the Shechina out of exile just by holding our mouth. Should make, they're making these big things in the world, the challah bakery, 5,000 women baking challah, Shabbos across the world. I think they should do a Ta'ani Dibur. 24 hours, the whole world shut up. Let's see what happens. Put the whole world under hold your mouth for 24 hours. Mashiach will be here in a second. So we should make a campaign. Instead of, you know, a massive challah baking or a massive Shabbat, let's do a Ta'ani Dibur. Ta'ani Dibur is a fasting that you don't talk. Let's do a Ta'ani Dibur one time, one day. Let's get 100,000 people not to talk for one day. Can you imagine how much Lashon Hara will not be talked? I think that will bring the redemption. I think we are on to something.
I can see a bunch of people's heads literally exploding.
Yeah. Bezrat Hashem. We should take what we learn and apply it and not just leave it in the book or leave it in the back burner on the brain. We should really apply it, really monitor our mouth, and really control what comes out of our mouth, lies, cheating, slandering, Lashon Hara, and so forth, to have the kavanah that every time that I want to say something, that I'm actually pulling the Shekhinah out of its exile by controlling my mouth. Bezrat Hashem, he concludes by saying, V'yigalenu geulat olam, he should redeem us to the eternal redemption, bimhera ve'yamenu, right away in our days.